He says, having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, or we would say today, the conduct of the old man before you got born again. Now, 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Now he's telling us we're the ones have to put him off, and we're the ones have to put him off. He goes on and he says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now we're going to be answering the question as we go along. What should I yield to, or who should I yield to, and what and whom should I resist? Why? Because the Bible talks about how we have an adversary, the devil, in 1 Peter 5. It talks about whom we are supposed to resist steadfast in the faith. So I know according to Scripture, and that's not the only place, that I am to resist the devil. Right? Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you do always resist God. How many knows Christians can be resisting God and think they're yielding to him? So I see here, anytime I'm tempted or tried or I have pressure to lie, I'm not to yield to that. Why? He says, put away that. Why? That's of the old man. The old man used to be a liar, right? All of us used to be a liar, you know? Well, he says, put off that. So anytime that I feel that or sense that or are having those thoughts to lie about something, I need to resist that. Why? Because that's of the devil. Lying is not of God. He goes on, he says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So in other words, I can feel anger, but I have to get rid of it before the day's over with. Right? Because we're not going to let it stew like chili or pinto beans. Right? We're going to get rid of it. We're not going to yield to that and let it cause bitterness. 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Now listen to me. This verse means don't give him an opportunity. But don't think he's not going to come along and try to create himself an opportunity.
That's right.
You heard Monty and him's testimony and some of the others, you know. They didn't have to give him a place for him to start working. Where he got the place was, did you hear what Monty said? He said, April said something, and I thought, that's a little nippy or rippy, whatever you said. Is that right, Monty? Am I telling this right? Right there should have been cut off. It don't matter what he thinks about it, does it? No. You just gave place. Now he got a little key in the hole, and he's going to start turning it with another thought and another feeling and another thought and her a thought and him a thought. Now he's getting place. How do I know he's getting place? Feelings are changing. Things are changing. Things are happening that was not happening. And I'm just using that as a little example. I mean, been there, done that. I can't even tell you how many times. But that's what it means. Don't give him any place. So anytime, it's kind of like this morning, I have gained like 60 pounds or more, so I stay hot. I don't have hot flashes, menopausal hot flashes. I'm just hot because I'm fat. Well, Scotty, after he had the heart attack, he used to stay hot all the time. He doesn't stay cold all the time, but after he had the heart attack, he doesn't stay quite as hot as what he used to. Well, I have this thing about when I get out of the shower, I don't like to sweat because I'm like, that just defeated the whole purpose. This is just gross, you know. Well, lo and behold, I'm in the shower this morning, and I hear the smoke alarm go off. And it's going beep, beep, beep. And here comes the thought. He turned that doggone heater on while I'm in the shower. He knows I don't want no heat. Sweating when I get out. So it's got to be cool in here. And because I've been being aware, we've been studying this and talking about this, my next thought on purpose was, oh, well, it don't matter to me what he does. I can only deal with what I do. Amen. And I forgot about it.
Amen.
And I got out of the shower, and I left the door closed, and I didn't sweat deep, and I didn't chew him out.
Amen. Praise God.
But see, Had I not took authority over that thought.
That's right.
And let it go on to another thought.
Yes.
I'm going to be, by the time I get out of that shower and I'm sweating, I'm mad.
Good stuff.
And then when I get mad and I open my mouth, it's like the gunners will down.
Yep.
And I got to come to church and teach all this.
Yep.
So that means if I do all of that, guess what's going to try to come then?
That's right.
Condemnation. Why? So I have no confidence in the Lord using me when I get up here.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I said I'm going to try not to stop on this. We need to just read this and go on. 27, neither give place to the devil or don't give him an opportunity. He's going to try to create one. You better believe it. 28, let him that stole steal no more. So I know if I'm having a thought or a feeling or something about stealing, don't do it. Resist it.
Right.
Right, Shannon? Just resist it. I don't care. You know, that, what was that song? How can something so good be so wrong or whatever?
Yeah.
It don't matter how it feels or looks.
Right.
If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. So I need to resist stealing. He says, but rather let him labor. So I need to yield to working, right?
Right.
Working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that need it.
Amen.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth so I don't need to yield to damning stuff. Right? If I want my car to get better, I don't need to keep damning it, right?
Yep.
If I want something to work right, I don't need to keep saying that dang thing or whatever it is. That's not going to help me.
Right?
He goes on, he says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, so the word here, I don't need to yield to bitterness. And wrath, I don't need to yield to wrath. And anger. I mean, he keeps talking about anger and wrath. I mean, in this few verses that we've read here over and over, because it's a major one. And clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. So I need to yield to kindness. He says, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And listen, that's not necessarily for the person's benefit. It's for my benefit.
That's right.
Why? I don't need to keep on with that. I don't need to harbor unforgiveness and cause bitterness and stuff in my life. It's like drinking poison and expecting Sandy to die because she did something to me.
Right.
It's not going to happen. She probably ain't even going to lose a week of sleep. Right. But I will. Right. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, as Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now go over to chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is not strong in yourself. It's strong confidence in Him and His ability. It says, and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? This word stand, you can say it resist. It's the same thing. Stand against, it means to resist. Yep. Resist what? The wiles, the tricks, the traps, the deceits, the delusions of the devil. Because that is his A game. So I am to resist the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People's not my problem. Even if the devil's using the people, the people's not my problem. And God never gave me authority over people. But he did give me authority over the devil.
Amen.
He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or resist in the evil day, and having done all to stand or to resist, stand or resist therefore. You never stop resisting or standing against. Now, I want to, let's see here. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11. I think it's verse 14. I've quoted this one several times, but we've not read it. I want you to see it for yourself. I think I'm going to back up a little before 14. Yeah, I am. Okay, the Apostle Paul here, he's talking about his ministry and comparing his ministry to others that are false apostles that's trying to come in and to deceive these people. And just for that, we're going to pick it up here in verse 12. He says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For For such are false apostles. Now you can go back and read the whole chapter, but I can't. I don't have time. For such are false apostles. So we read here, they are in the world, right?
Yep.
There's real ones and there's fake. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So Satan has ministers.
Yep.
God, anything God has, he imitates.
Yep.
So he says here, verse 14, he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And I'm going to read that in the Amplified. It says, and it is no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It says, 15, there it is, no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now notice this. He's talking about these people are ministers being used by the devil. What are they ministering? If God's people and his ministers minister truth, if they minister righteousness or rightness, what would the devil's ministers be ministering?
Lies.
Right the opposite. Whatever is truth, they'll be ministering right the opposite. Listen, I heard this morning. I heard the Lord say this to me this morning. A half-truth is always a whole lie.
Right.
And that is one thing the devil likes to do is quote half-truths.
Right. My goodness.
But every time he does, a half-truth always equals a whole lie. And his ministers are transforming themselves. They're looking like rightness or righteousness. They're looking like and acting like truth. They're ministers of truth, but they're not. Why? Because they're trying to deceive me into thinking that something that is a lie is the truth. And the thing about deception is you don't know you're in it. Because what deception is, I believe a lie to be the truth. Therefore, to me, it's the truth. But how many knows there's only one truth? And it's the truth that God says is true. He says his word is truth, right? He says, sanctify them, Father, through thy word, for thy word is truth. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You cannot separate Jesus from his word. He is the word. In the book, he was the word before he came down here. He became Jesus for our benefit. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that he's got a name written on his side, and it is called the Word of God. So I don't care. You hear this in the world today. Well, this is my truth. No, no, no. Don't fall for that one. This is not Dee has a truth. Teresa has a truth. Sandy has a truth. We all just live our own truth. No, we don't.
No.
I might believe something is truth, but if it's not in line with this, it's not the real truth, and I am deceived. And that's what his ministers are ministering. But notice that it says even Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of the light. Let's look at, I know we've done read it, but I want to go back and look at it again. Genesis 3. I said, I think I've said it a couple of times, and I'm going to say it again. Don't let this stuff be too little for you. Because the devil loves that. Did you hear what Monty said? And I'm not trying to bring up them or anything. It was good. What he said. I hate that they fell into it and had to go through that and then get it all worked out. I hate that. But did you hear what he said? We didn't know what in the world was going on. Clue. You hear me? Clue.
Yep.
You cannot figure the devil out. Why? He's the author of confusion. The Bible says wherever he is, there'll be confusion in every evil work. Right? So they had confusion going on. He couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. She couldn't figure out what was going on. And I've been there, done that. I've even been in it before and thought, what in the world? How did we get here? How did we get to where I'm in the house and Scotty's up there on the trailer? And there's a hole in the wall. How did we get here?
Yep.
When there's confusion going on, you better know he's working. Why? Because God is very clear.
Yes, he is.
He's very simple. Jesus' teaching was very clear, very plain. He would use earthly illustrations to try and show biblical or heavenly viewpoints and things like that. You know, just like the sower sows the seed and all that, the comparisons and everything. So God is very simple, but the devil is very confusing. Verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle. This word subtle, when you look it up, it means cunning. It means crafty. He's very skilled at what he does. It says, then any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman. Now this is where he came into Monty. April said something, whether it was Rippy or not, I don't know. And Monty, whether he consciously heard it, thought it in his thoughts or whatever, that was not nice, or that was a little Rippy or whatever he thought. Is that right, Monty?
Yep.
And I'm just using them because they brought up the testimony, so we can see it.
Yep. Right, right.
And same thing with Shannon and them, same thing I've done, I can't tell you. I just don't have a real recent one, you know, that y'all heard about or whatever.
Praise God.
You know, and it says here, they begin to talk, and he said unto the woman, the first thought that you detect that is not in line with Scripture, get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
Amen.
Why? Because it's going to lead to mold.
Yep, right.
It's going to give an open door. Listen, he gets access to us through our flesh. He puts thoughts, tries to interject thoughts into our mind all the time. I didn't know this for years, that my mind is my mind and I can control it. I thought it just, whatever went in there, that was just the way it was. You know? But it's not the case.
That's right.
And he starts talking to her. And then he says, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden? That's the truth. God did say that, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he's got a motive. He's striking up a conversation.
Yeah.
The second you realize it's him, whether it's through a person. Listen, just because you ask me a question don't mean I have to answer you and that I will. Some things ain't none of your business. Some things ain't none of my business. But some people feel obligated that if I ask them a question or you ask them, they need to answer you. Well, you don't want to be rude. That's not being rude. You shouldn't have been rude asking me that kind of question.
Yeah,
now, this is not, I mean, it sounds funny. I'm not trying to be ugly. She didn't have to start talking to him. She could have said, I don't talk to strange snakes. Yep. Yes, God said that, and it ain't none of your business what he says to me. Mind your own business.
Yep.
I mean, she could have said a lot of stuff and cut it off, and we wouldn't have the situation we got now. But she didn't. And it goes on, and it says, and the woman said back unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And notice what we read. He transforms himself as an angel of the light. Oh, well, he's fixing to become so helpful. I'm going to help you become like God. Goes on. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, so she ain't confused about it, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay, she's not confused. Adam's standing there, he ain't saying nothing. Y'all men need to say something sometimes.
Yep. Yeah.
And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. That's a lie. God told them the truth.
Yeah.
God's word is truth. Every word that comes out of his mouth is truth. Now he's lying. You shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now he's transformed as an angel of the light. He's helping her. I'm going to help you get to be like God. God knows this, and this is why he told you not to do it.
Y'all ain't never heard none of this stuff, have
you? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
God don't want you to have no fun. You can't party no more. Well, yeah, it might be fun for the first few hours, but then after that, and you're hanging over the toilet wishing you could just go on and die, that's not fun. He goes on, verse 5. For God doth know that in the... Oh, verse 6, I'm sorry. And when the woman saw, now, look at this. This is how every one of them starts. This is the very first time that we have record of that he done this. And these people couldn't be no more like God than what they already was. The Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image. God, the Bible says, God made man in his own image. Right? Then he took of the man and he made the woman in the man's image. So they couldn't be any more like God than what they already was. They had fellowship with him. There was no enmity between them. They walked and talked with him, had no problem with him. He had no problem with them. Just pure divine fellowship. And she didn't cut off, whether it was through a thought or the devil was standing there talking to you through somebody, you know, whatever the case may be, a letter that you, it don't matter how it comes. She should have cut it off when he first started talking, and then if she didn't get it, when he told the first lie. This is why you really need to know your Bible.
That's right.
And this is why the devil really fights. Hey, I don't understand the Bible. Nobody said you got to understand it. Just know what it says. I don't have to understand it. God will give me the understanding, the revelation that I need. But I need to know what it says. Why? Because I've got lies coming at me all the time. And if I don't have a truth or the truth, guess what? I'm going to eat a lie. Why? Because I don't know. These people perish from what? A lack of knowledge. She knew what he said was a lie. But then after that, now she starts looking at it. But she can still stop it right now.
Yep.
But she don't. She goes on, and it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was what?
Afraid.
I've never been afraid of God before.
Right.
They never hid before.
Right.
See, the devil knows exactly what he's doing. There is method to his madness that he does. And the first thing they began to do was to take care of themselves, and then when God came, flee away. They had confidence and faith in God before, fellowship with him, right?
Yes.
Do you understand that's why the devil wants us to yield to these things? Because I can't have faith and confidence in the Lord working through me, in being in me or anything when I'm condemned. And this is going to go back to the pieces of armor that he talks about in Ephesians 6, where he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. How did I get righteous? He's not talking about me putting on a literal breastplate or getting up every morning and saying, okay, God, I put on my breastplate of righteousness. That's not it. If you don't know what that breastplate is supposed to be representing, he'll beat your brains out, even though you got up every morning and said, I put on my breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate supposed to be representing? My righteousness.
Right.
How did I get righteous? I've been made righteous. I believe unto righteousness, right? Right? When I called on him, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, if I commit any sins, if I will confess my sin, he's faithful and just. He's Jesus Christ, the righteous one, to forgive my sin and cleanse me from all sin and unrighteousness. Don't the Bible say over there in Corinthians that whenever I get born again, that old things pass away, behold, all things become new, and all things are of God? And it goes on down and it says, he took upon himself unrighteousness, and I was made the righteousness of God?
Amen.
That's my breastplate.
That's right.
I don't care what I said. I don't care how I look. I don't care what I done. I am the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God.
That's right.
And that's why he does that, because the Bible talks about even if my own heart condemns me, that God will never condemn me. See, there's been people, and including myself, that have done things that they couldn't forgive themselves, seems like, and the devil kept tormenting them with it. But the minute they repented of it, God forgave them and wiped the slate clean. But they can't go on and walk out their righteousness because they ain't putting on that righteousness.
Right.
And that's the lies that he comes with. You're not righteous, or you would have not have done that.
Right.
Devil, you're a liar. I may not feel righteous, I might not look righteous, but I've been made righteous.
Right.
So I put on that righteousness, and I'm going to walk righteous regardless of how I feel and what you say.
Amen.
Amen.
We can't get into that armor right now. It's not time yet. But notice that. They became afraid, and they began to hide from the face of God. Now, what do I yield to and what do I resist? So I need to be reading my Bible. Not only read it, study it.
Right.
I need to know what it says. There's papers back there. The reason why we do that is Monday through Friday, we all read those same chapters. Why do we do that? At least 5 days a week, we're all eating the same broccoli.
Yeah.
Or carrots, or cake, or whatever it is that we're reading. You got Christians, they never read their Bible. The Bible talks about the devil roaming to and fro the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Christians that don't read and know their Bible, he will be able to devour them. Why? They've got no truth.
Amen.
The truth is the very first piece of armor that he says for us to put on.
Right.
The truth of his word is what everything else hangs on. That's the foundation. So if I don't know that, I'm going to have a hard time keeping him out. Now, let's go to, I got so much notes and so many places I want to go, and I can't do it all. Let's look at 1 John 4. That's where I want to go. Nope, I'm sorry, I don't want to go there yet. Let's go to, I think it's Luke 4, verse 1. You got Christians, they'll read the newspaper. Come on now. They'll read the newspaper. They'll read Facebook. They'll read the labels on stuff. They'll read all kinds of stuff. Read things at the grocery store, read billboard signs when they're going by, read directions on a map, but they won't read the word. We have to change that. And I'm not just talking about here, I'm on the internet, okay? Why? Because we need to know his word. So important that we know his word. Now here in Luke chapter 4, let me get over there, verse 1. Now we know the story here, most of us, I'm sure all of us do. This is the temptation of Jesus. Right? It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan. This is, he had just been baptized in the River Jordan. The Holy Ghost had descended upon him in the form of a dove. And now the next thing it says, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted. Notice that? We have a few days sometimes. Our tongue will be hanging out. But it says, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. He's on a fast. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, now listen, if you was a smart one, do you really think you're going to trick the word? The devil's cunning and he's crafty, but he's not real smart sometimes. It says, and the devil said unto him, it worked on Adam and Eve though, right?
Yeah.
If thou be the Son of God. Now let me tell you something. Jesus knew exactly who he was. The devil knew exactly who he was. And demons knew exactly who he was.
Amen.
He would, well, y'all remember the story of the madman of Gadara? They put him in tombs and he was cutting himself all the time. They chained him up in the tombs and in the graveyard and everything.
Yeah.
And the Bible says Jesus came walking, and what'd he do? He run out to him, and demons are screaming.
Yes.
He didn't ask him if you're the Son of God because he didn't know who he was.
That's right.
He'll ask you. You go to witness. Who do you think you are? I like that shirt Shannon's got on this morning, but be careful. It says, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. God's not necessarily looking for perfection in the flesh. He's just looking for obedience.
Right.
And you go to witness to somebody or something else or whatever, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are, Shannon?
Yeah.
You're not perfect. You're just forgiven.
Right.
Don't you open your mouth. You know what you did. And if you don't, Cassandra can help you. I'm just asking about the devil today. That's how he does things. So today he's not asking this because he don't know. He's always known. He was in heaven with him. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. Verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be it made bread. Why would he say that? Listen, I have been on a fast before, and I don't like hot dogs all that much. I can eat them, you know, but most time I just rather do without them, rather eat something else. I was on a fast before, and I'm telling you, a hot dog. I just hadn't thought about a hot dog. I could see the ketchup dripping off my hot dog. I'm serious. I'm on a fast. What's he say? What's the first thing he says here? He says, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Can Jesus do it? You better believe he can. God said he could raise up treasures from stones, right? So he could. But God didn't tell him to, did he?
That's right.
So you better not. So the first thing he does, something of my flesh. When I'm on a fast, I don't know about y'all, but I could eat a dead horse, as they say. And I've only missed breakfast so far. I'm serious. I'm just telling you the way it is for me.
That's right.
Maybe it's not that way for everybody.
It is.
There's some people that, listen, it don't even matter if you eat a bunch or a little bit sometimes. Some people that eats a little bit, they're like, oh, God, no, I couldn't not do without. I'd die. But yeah, the first thing, when he thinks you're weak in the flesh,
yep,
he comes along and offers the thing that would make you feel good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
So if you are the Son of God, turn these stones in to be made bread. Now here comes the word back. And Jesus answered him, saying, Jesus didn't have a problem talking to him. He goes on and he says, it is written, what?
That man.
Well, I just don't feel real hungry right now, so I don't think I will. That's not what he said.
Mm-mm.
Well, I'm on fast right now, so I just don't think I will. That's not what he said.
That's right.
He said, it's written.
Truth.
He had to know. Jesus was so well, and listen, you can't take this as just because it was Jesus, because he was the Son of God. He came and was born in flesh just like me and you, and he didn't do anything we couldn't do, or it would not have been right.
That's right.
But he tells him there, it is written. So he was so well versed in the scriptures. Y'all remember when he got lost from his parents for 3 days?
Yeah.
And they found him in the temple place, or and he's disputing over the word of God, or talking about them, the word of God. And the Bible talks about how they're astonished.
Yep.
He's what, 12?
13, yep.
They're astonished at how well-versed he is in the scriptures. So teenagers, don't wait till you get big. You need to be having people astonished at how well-versed you are in the scriptures.
Right, man. Bless you, Lord.
So that's how come he could say it's written. Not because he's Jesus, but because he knew the word. He studied the word. He knew and studied the word from the time probably he could read. And he goes on here. Let's see what we get to. Verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. This is a quote from Deuteronomy 8. I believe it's verse 3. So they had the Old Testament. Parchments and different things like that. They didn't have the new. They're creating the new right now in these verses.
That's right.
Here. But he knew the oath and he quoted it to him. And he says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We are a three-part being. I have a flesh that has to eat bread or some kind of food, natural nourishment. But I'm also a spirit that I have to eat spiritual things, and the word of God is spiritual food.
Right.
And he goes on, verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain. Now this, I thought, how did he do that? But anyway, we're not going to get off on that today. That's not the point. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. Now listen, I've heard people say that was a lie. No, it's not a lie. Where did he get it?
Adam and Eve.
We just read it over there. All power and authority have been given to Adam and Eve, right? Yeah. To bless and multiply and all of that in the earth. They're the ones that had it. Then they came, the devil came along, and when they yielded to him, they gave him the power and authority over all the kingdoms.
Yeah, that's right.
So it is, listen, if it wasn't real, it couldn't even have been a temptation.
Uh-huh.
It says, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Y'all ever heard that?
Yeah.
He don't say it that way.
Yeah.
He says it in other ways. It says in verse 8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. This is the second time he tells him it's written. He knows what the word says. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written. Now Jesus knows he's the Son of God. If there's any pride in him, I got to prove it to you. Y'all ain't saying that. Y'all know how many teenagers get into crap because they get that?
Yep.
I dare you. You ain't a real man if you don't. So my pride, I just got to show you.
Yep.
And then here I'm going to jail. Y'all going home.
Right.
He don't got none. Verse 10, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Now let me go back and read the whole thing together. And he brought, talking about the devil, brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written. What? This is the devil talking.
Yep.
The devil knows the word better than a lot of Christians.
That's right.
Yes. For it is written. Now Jesus used this on him, so now he's going to try to use it on Jesus. You better believe he'll try to use it on you. That's why I said a half-truth is a whole lie every time. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Was that true?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was written exactly word for word, just like that. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. He will leave you, and it's a mountaintop experience, but you better believe he's coming back, so be ready.
That's right.
Don't just use that time to lay on the couch and eat donuts, because he's coming back. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of him. But go back up there to verse 12. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. How did he know to do that?
Because he knows his word. Words are so word and powerful.
The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Let's turn over there and read it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Listen, it's not about what I think. It's not about what I believe. It's about what the word says, right?
Right.
Now here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's see. That may have been 2 Timothy. Or no, that's chapter 3 I'm looking at. No, I think it's 2 Timothy.
Study verse.
Yeah, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Have these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. This is how Jesus knew. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me read the Amplified. It says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. How do you do that? You take word against word. That's how come you can't take one verse. Listen, this says a lot of stuff. And you can't take one verse of Scripture and make a doctrine on it. Here's you one for example. That doctrine that talks about Women being silent in the church. False. Where else, two or three times, does it say that in context? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all too quiet now. Where's my women? You rightly divide the word against other words. What does the Bible talk about? Who's the head? How many times does the Bible say that? Women? We don't like that one, but anyway, it's the truth nonetheless. A lot. Where does the Bible talk about submission? Y'all ain't saying that one.
Come on.
Well, Shannon really liked that one. I don't know if Cassandra did, but Shannon did. I'm coming, Shannon. I'm a happy brother. Several different places does it talk about submission and who should submit to who and all of that kinds of stuff. So the way that you do that is you rightly divide it. You take a scripture. That verse should run, that thread of whatever the verse is or whatever should read, be threaded through the scriptures from the beginning to the end. If it contradicts and is contrary, it's not right. Just like there where it says, okay, if you're the Son of God, you know, the word says that he'll... you know, send his angels charge over you and all that stuff. Yeah, but he's not obligated to take care of me where he didn't tell me to go and what to do. That's a big one for Christians. I'm not going to climb up on the end of this building and jump off me unless I heard the Lord say. Because I'm bigger than Scotty. I don't care if he did say he's going to catch me. I don't care if he does tell me the angels are going to bear me up unless I dash my foot against the stone. Unless God said it, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because he's not obligated to take care of whatever I just come up with. But we like to do that a lot of times. I think I'll do this. And the word says he'll do this. I heard a story about a woman one time, an elderly woman, and she had went to town or somewhere. She got mugged. Well, she called this prayer line or whatever, and this minister was on the other end. And she said, I just don't understand. I just got robbed. She got knocked in the head. They stole her purse and everything. I just got robbed and everything. I quoted Psalm 91. I don't know what the problem is. He don't know either. Because Psalm 91, that's the scripture that the devil just quoted to Jesus part of. He said, well, he said, let's examine this. She said, okay. He said, did you have some reason that you had to be there or go through that part of town or whatever? Well, not really, but I wanted to go to so-and-so and so-and-so. Okay. Well, sister, did the Lord tell you to go over there or something? Well, no, I wanted to, but I quoted Psalm 91. Can y'all see the picture of this where I'm trying to go?
Yes.
He said, well, if you didn't have to, and the Lord didn't tell you to, he said, did you have anything on the inside maybe about not going, you know, before you went? Well, I did think, and, you know, I did have the thought, don't go today. She said, but I saw 91 it. Y'all ain't saying that. Okay, number one, you didn't have to go today. Number two, he didn't tell you to go today. Number three, Holy Ghost is talking on the inside. Let's don't go today. Right? The Bible says that he'll bear witness with my spirit that I am the Son of God. And he bears witness. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he bears witness with the truth.
Amen.
Right? So I didn't have to. She didn't have to go today. He didn't tell her to go today. And she's got a little bit of something. Don't really know what, but a little bit of something on the inside of her spirit about not going today. But we're going to override all that.
Yep.
And bless God, I'm going, and you better take care of me like the word says. No, he don't have to do that. And that is the very situation that he's telling Jesus here, that it's written because he wants him to do it. He wants him to act out of some other reason than being led by the Spirit of God. That's the very thing he wants for me and you. Well, that church is just dry over there. I've been there 15 years, Dave. I want to go out and see what's going on. What's God's doing everywhere else? Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. When I read the Bible, it says over there in 1 Corinthians 12 that God set some in the churches how? As it pleased him. It don't have to please me where I go to church. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I did not want to come down here. I'm just going to tell you. And I, matter of fact, I wasn't right, but I told you, I ain't going. God had spoken nothing to me about it. And he was gracious, and so was the Lord. He knew I wasn't trying to do it out of rebellion, you know. But I had seen some junk. And I told him, I'm not going. But the Lord, he moved later, you know, and told me to come with him and what we were supposed to do, you know, and all of that stuff.
Amen.
But he's trying to get Jesus to act on what he's saying instead of what the Spirit of God is saying. God didn't tell him throw himself down off of that pinnacle. God didn't tell him go ahead and do it and I will bear, my angels will bear you up. He didn't tell him nothing of that. So if God ain't telling you nothing, don't do nothing. I don't care if Sister Kay and Susie and whoever went over there at that other church. I don't care if you are high and dry. Maybe it's not your pastor, maybe it's you.
That's right. All right. Come on.
My pastor is not responsible for all my spiritual food. If I'm high and dry, the Bible tells me I can drink out of the wells of my own salvation.
Amen.
I don't need nobody.
Come on.
For it stir me up. Yeah, that's what the gifts are supposed to be doing when we come to church. I'm not saying that they're not or what. Do y'all see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And the devil plays this on people over and over and over. And I don't say this for my benefit because I want somebody to stay here or there. Or what. I don't care where y'all go. Listen, I got enough stuff of my own. I'm serious. Teresa is, I don't know about y'all, Teresa is a 24-7, and Travis Scotty said amen, job.
Bless
you. 25 if we had it, I guarantee you. So I don't care what y'all do, or I don't, it's none of my business. I'm not saying it for that benefit. Now, I do care in that I love you and I want you in the will of God, wherever you're supposed to be, whatever you're supposed to be doing. But that's what he's telling him there. He's even quoting him half scriptures. This is not the truth that God said, no matter what you do, his angel's going to bear you up. That's just not so. There's some places I'm not supposed to be. There's some times I'm not supposed to be at some places. And he's not obligated to that word. Good grief, I'm already 5 over. We got to stop. I'm surprised Scotty ain't standing up waving a flag.